easy, but it was right. There wasn't a lot to go on, but Amélie wasn't done. And you went from finding out your nature to learning how to do what you needed to do the correct way, and then you took your time to teach others. Arius has missed you as a trainer at the Club Six. You were excellent at it. It's voluntary to do that, and you took on a good many domes. That's a great kindness. And I can say for a fact, every master and mistress you trained would agree. Well, there was that. And you didn't use to talk much, Lee went on. And it's very true you didn't let anyone in too deep, but you listened. You always had all the time in the world to listen, Six. People are so busy these days, pushing their opinion and their point of view, their stories and experiences. So many have lost the art of listening. And sometimes, in fact, in a good many cases, you simply need that. You don't need to know what people think of your problems or your life. You just need someone to listen. And that's always been you. That was true, too. And Arius adores you, she continued. Arius is the best judge of character I know, and frankly, that was all I needed when I first met you. As ever, it proved to be true. She turned on her turn signal to hook a right onto 44th, promising in a whisper, I'm going to be a better friend.
I'm uncertain how. But if that's a goal, I'm not going to talk you out of it.
Thank you for being a good friend. And thank you in return for one of the best compliments I've ever received.
God, Six muttered. These days it seems like I'm always on the verge of crying, and for years I hadn't shed a single tear.
That's a shame, Amélie replied gently. Tears have a bad rep. And I can't for the life of me figure out why. They're very healing. People view them as a weakness, Six pointed out.
People are, I've noticed, quite often very foolish, Lee returned.
That made Six grin while saying,
so true.
I'm here for you, Six. Always, Lee said. This was it. It was time. She took a deep breath and went for it. Simone, she declared.
I'm sorry?
Simone. My name is Simone, Six told her. I'm Six, definitely, but that's a nickname I gave myself a long time ago. My real name is Simone.
Simone, Lee murmured. How beautiful.
Thanks, Six whispered.
No, ma belle chérie.
Thank you. Six hit the turn signal again and swung into the suicide lane to make a left toward Stellan's home. We're going to the club tonight. Are you guys going?
No, Ollie's on duty tonight, so I'll be here waiting for him to return home.
Right, well, I'll see you there sometime.
And perhaps in the meantime we can have lunch.
Six grinned again, thinking of Amélie at Sip. She'd probably dig it. We'll set that up. I'll call you when I'm not driving.
Excellent. Until then, Simone.
With Lee's soft accent, that was almost as beautiful as Stellan saying it. Until then, Amélie. Speak soon.
We will. Goodbye, sweetheart.
Bye, Lee. They hung up. Six drove home, and she parked in her bay next to Stellan's Maserati, now under the illusion that sharing and honesty paved the road to good things. And damned proud of herself for keeping her head firmly out of her ass.
Gordon's cup for Mr. Six, a vodka martini for me,
Stellan ordered from the server at their booth, approximately 1.25 minutes after they'd slid their asses into it. Isn't it Gladiator Night? She asked her man as the server walked away. Stellan turned to her.
That was last week.
However, Ami wasn't participating.
I know, but how do we miss that?
Stalin grinned. It's next week, and Ami will be participating, so we'll make a point to go. And I'll make a point to ink each event into my calendar, whether you're commanding Ami or not.
She actually felt her eyes sparkle at him as she leaned her tits into his arm.
That'd be appreciated, baby, she murmured.
He bent in, twisting his neck to touch his lips to hers. She suspected her eyes were sparking more after that. However, when he straightened away, Six blinked into the bar. This was because Arius was leading a woman to their booth who was dazzling.
No, astounding.
So much so, without thought, out of the side of her mouth, what she had no idea was comically, she muttered,
"Text on me right now and tell him we got a hot one for him."
She couldn't tear her eyes off the woman coming their way, so she didn't see, she just felt it, as Stalin turned his amused smile from her to the direction she was looking.
"I think when he arrives in half an hour, he'll discover that himself."
He did not mutter out of the side of his mouth. What he did do was slide out of the booth.
"Stalin, my man,"
Arius greeted on a handshake.
"Six, beautiful,"
he said to her on a dip of his chin. Then he put his hand on the small of the back of the tall, lush, exotic beauty beside him.
"This is Naya."
Naya smiled a white smile behind deep berry lips. This radiating out of a face whose skin tone and bone structure Six could not call. Polynesian, perhaps? But it was, bottom line, stunning. Six took her in, as Stellan took her hand in greeting. And there was a lot of her to take in. She was tall for one, and built for another. She was also wearing an exquisitely draped, long-sleeved aqua dress that highlighted her amazing coloring and thick, long, dark hair. The dress fit like a glove, had a plunging V-neckline, a ruched waistline that made her hourglass figure go straight from gorgeous to bombshell, and interesting flat ruffles down the front that a slit up the middle disappeared behind. So the dress was beyond flirtatious, straight to coquettish. On sight, Six loved her for Ami. Upon witnessing that sultry but open and friendly smile, Six adored her for Ami. After Six murmured her greeting, and Naya gracefully slid into the booth, Six would do a voodoo dance of good luck to make her personality come close to her extortionate beauty, so she'd be worthy of Ami.
"Thank you for meeting me," she said with an accent Six again couldn't place, while Stellan slid in beside her and Arius beside Naya.
"Thank you for meeting us," Six replied. "And do you mind if I ask where you're from?"
She inclined her head regally.
"French Polynesia, originally. Though I lived in France for about 5 years growing up, before moving here to America when I was 17. Then living between New York, Paris, London, and Milan for a number of years."
Jet setter.
Which might mean she had money. Which might mean if she and Ami took to each other, the gladiator pit would continue to be all kinds of interesting.
Nice.
Stalin and Six's drinks were served. Arius and Naya ordered their own, and the server moved away. Naya aimed her big brown eyes over prominent rounded cheekbones and back to Six.
"I understand you own this male I'll be using tonight," she remarked.
"Yes," Six confirmed.
Naya looked to Stellan with a not surprising huge amount of interest, then to Six.
"Not Stellan," Six shared. "He's my master."
Arius cleared his throat, loudly. Six narrowed her eyes at him to see him fighting laughter. Therefore her eyes narrowed further.
Naya looked to Arius and asked,
I'm sorry. Is this done? A sub owning a sub?
Mr. Six is a switch, Stellan put in smoothly.
Ah, Naya murmured. I see.
Though it isn't unheard of for a dom to allow a slave to play at will with another slave, Stellan shared.
I'm not sure I would will this,
Naya replied to Stellan before turning her attention back to Six.
I prefer single-partner play. Arius has introduced me to multiple, but I didn't fancy it.
Strike another one for a move to approve. What particularly didn't you fancy? Six asked.
My style of play, the way I prefer it, rather, is that my attentions aren't divided. The connection feels deeper to me that way. But more, any time there's another presence in the room, a sub's attention can get caught by something else. And I'm afraid I'm too selfish to wish my subs thinking of or focused on anything but me.
Great answer. Six is known for her multiple partner play, Arius put in at this point, causing Six to give him another narrow-eyed look.
I'm sorry, Naya said quickly. I mean no offense.
I'm out of that phase, Six told her silkily, deciding against kicking Arius in the shin because, at her angle, she might hit Naya. It helped cool her temper that at this point, Stellan wound a possessive arm around her shoulders. But then again, that would always be helpful, in whatever situation.
As with all life, but especially this life, it really is to each their own, no?
Naya said. Absolutely, Six replied on a smile.
May I ask about your sub? She queried.
Of course, Six said.
He's experienced?
Six nodded. Naya bit her so full it was poofy lower lip. He knows you're in training, Naya, Six told her quietly.
I have only recently been left to my own devices, if supervised, but there's so much trust needed. It can be...
She seemed at a loss for words.
Intimidating.
Well, if Ami agrees to share a scene with you tonight, which I have a feeling he'll jump at the chance to do, Six started, then it's the perfect match. He's an excellent sub, communicates very well, has few hard limits, and performs beautifully. Naya shifted ever so slightly in her seat. Six grinned gleefully and leaned across the table. And wait until you see him. He's a gladiator. Naya also leaned across the table, her naturally wide eyes even wider.
As in, he fights for his mistress?
Six nodded. It's spectacular. Stellan's hand came to rest on the small of her back. At his unspoken command, she sat back and looked to him. He looked amused. And he looked edgy. Interesting. When she turned back to Naya, she saw something had clouded her face. She didn't have to ask after it when Naya said,
So he fights for you.
If claimed by another, he'll fight for her, if she can afford to buy his place in the ring, Six told her.
I see, Naya murmured.
And I know the owners at the pit, she continued. So if you decide to claim him and want him to fight, if the fee is too hefty, since Ami enjoys it, and I would suspect any mistress he would allow to claim him would too, I'm sure an arrangement could be made to keep him there. Another choking noise from Arius, just as Stellan let out a soft chuckle.
This shouldn't be an issue, Naya declared. I'm a retired model.
Of course she was.
My career was relatively successful, she carried on humbly,
not needing to share that was likely a huge understatement.
And I'm now the creative director for an online fashion magazine that's become quite popular.
And she was hitting all the highs. But if there was one she might miss, it would be the biggest one, and for Six it loomed over the table like a suffocating shroud. Considering your finishing training, I can imagine you're keen to have a variety of experiences with a variety of different subs, Six noted leadingly. Only for Naya to shake her head. She also squared her shoulders. As it is, out there, in the other world, I understand, so it will be in here. But I never found a man out there because something was missing. Now I know what I was missing. I also know if I ever found a man who I would want to be a part of my life, he would need to take his place in this part of my life. So, like everybody, I'm looking for somebody. I just have learned, even if it will still take some searching, I can only find him in the right places.
If you fall for Ami, I'm so totally claiming your bridal shower, Six blurted,
only for a beautiful blush to strike Naya's cheeks and her eyes to get big again.
She'd started it, she might as well just go with it. It'll have a whips and chains theme, she joked.
I don't yet know how to use a whip, but they don't really do much for me. I prefer switches and paddles, Naya replied, though I've grown rather adept with ropes and chains.
Six smiled hugely.
Naya took that in and tipped her head, absolutely and beguilingly coquettishly to the side.
Can I take that as approval?
Naya's and Arius's drinks came as Six replied, completely and totally.
Naya returned Six's huge smile.
A mistress meeting of the minds, Arius muttered.
Stellan lifted his martini Arius's way, saying,
Well chosen, my friend. I should go into business with this matchmaker shit,
Arius replied, glanced between Six and Stellan and said,
Oh, wait.
Everyone in the booth laughed, and then everyone engaged in small talk for the next 20 minutes. Small talk that proved Naya was just as lovely as she seemed, before Stellan's mouth came to her ear.
Darling, Ami has arrived and he awaits your verdict, he whispered there.
She looked to her man, then to the hunting ground, saw Ami in it, standing leaning a forearm on top of one of the high tables there, with a glass of beer in front of him, wearing a suit and looking totally fuckable. His gaze was on her.
Will you excuse me, baby? She murmured to Stellan.
Stellan slid out of his seat and took her fingers curled around his hand to help her out.
Always class, her Stellan.
She gave him a look of gratitude before she moved across the hunting ground to Ami's table. She barely rocked to a halt before he rumbled,
I'm fucking in.
Six nearly burst out laughing.
So, I take it you saw Mistress Naya.
He raised his brows. That she was taking as a yes.
All right, my gladiator. Let's get this show on the road.
He just emitted a low growl. And again, she was fighting laughter. She turned and walked back to the table to see both Stellan and Arius out of the booth, with Naya sliding out. Six went to Naya, suddenly nervous. Ami was in. Ami was hot. Ami was built. Ami was a great sub. And Ami was a good guy. But he might not be everyone's cup of tea.
Naya, she called while Naya looked at her feet as she took them at the side of the booth.
She raised those big browns and they were flashing.
That's him? She asked.
Yes, Six answered.
Can I start now? She asked.
And yet again Six held back her laughter, but her next,
yes,
was shaking.
Brilliant,
Naya said on a sharp nod. She then moved away.
I'll have our drinks refreshed, and we can make our way to the observation room,
Stellan murmured and moved to the bar. Arius shifted in beside her as Naya oozed her way, with rounded hips swaying, toward the door to the playrooms. Her head turned, her eyes locked on Ami. And Ami prowled toward her.
So Stellan's your master, eh?
Arius asked at her side. Six kept her eyes on the couple, as Naya stopped at the door and Ami reached around her to open it for her. Both did this without breaking eye contact.
Superb.
Shut up, Arius.
You're happy,
Arius declared, and as Naya and Ami had disappeared, she turned to him. Shut up, Arius.
I'm so fucking happy you found you're happy. I'd kiss you if I didn't think Stellan would take my head off for it.
He knows we're friends.
Babe, you did not see his face when you were talking about your gladiator. Careful there, my beauty. You got a man on your hands who is not into sharing. And you let a dom claim you, who happens also to be that man. And that magnifies that kind of shit about 10 million times.
Good lord. She was offended. Actually, offended. I'd never be untrue to Stellan.
I figure that. I figure he knows that. It won't matter, Dick. Man like that will piss on his patch as a matter of course, even if he lived alone on an island. If something really matters, there'll be hell to pay. My advice is, you take that in, beautiful. Because when it comes to you, there's a lot of ways that could go south.
In some ways, what he was saying was obvious. In others, she had no idea what he was talking about. I'm in love with him, Ari, and he is with me, she shared. So that kind of thing doesn't factor. Arius looked stunned. That look didn't last long before it melted to elated. Then he muttered, fuck it. After that, he wrapped his hand around the back of her head, pulled her in, and kissed her forehead. Holy God. When he moved back, she snapped, you're totally stepping all over my rep.
Baby, Mistress Six is dead. Now, long live the queen.
She kept snapping. You'd be annoying if you weren't so damn sweet and I didn't like you so much. He grinned at her, touched her nose with a finger, and lumbered away. She let out a hefty sigh. Stellan materialized by her side, and she jumped. She turned to him. He handed her a fresh drink, asking,
what was that?
Arius, totally disrespecting Mistress Six. She answered,
darling, you do know everyone in this room knows I tie you up and do very naughty things to you?
Stellan noted carefully.
Whatever,
she muttered. It was his eyes that were sparkling then as he offered an arm.
Shall we go watch Naya do very naughty things to Ami?
She wrapped her fingers around his elbow.
Sure.
He shook his head at her, then moved them toward the doors. When they were out of earshot of everyone, if not eyeshot, he asked,
have you a clue how much I adore you?
She looked up at him as he slid out of her hold to open the door.
Yes,
she whispered. His face got soft.
Good.
He indicated the open doorway with his head. Six moved through, stopped on the other side, and waited to take her man's arm so they could watch an extraordinarily beautiful woman do very naughty things to an amazingly good-looking man.
My, my, my. I think it's safe to say she's a natural,
Stellan murmured at her side.
Six would very much agree. She'd tabled him. Christ, like a champ. That and chained him to the wall.
Ami's thick neck was in an iron band attached to the wall. His big fists were attached to the wall at his wrists, and his long legs were up, spread wide and cocked, braces above his knees attached to chains attached to the wall, holding his massive thighs wide and relatively stationary. Cuffs around his ankles also chained to the wall. spreading his calves wider. His bare ass was at the very edge of the table. And his cock, balls, and ass cheeks were covered with dried drips of aqua blue wax. Naya was coquettish. She'd been flirting with him all night, in a kick-ass, mistress-with-an-edge kind of way. Her body was covered in a teddy, the entire front panel a complicated pattern of see-through, delicate aqua lace. The arms of the three-quarter sleeves stretch aqua netting, leading to a band of lace below her elbows. The V at the front was deep. The lace at the bottom cut high to expose hip bones. She'd kept on her high-heeled silver sandals. Her hair was down and bounding around her shoulders and her ample chest. She also had refreshed her berry lipstick repeatedly, doing this after leaving it staining on me at his neck, nipples, inner thighs, balls, and cock. The woman was already a master mistress with restraints and wax. And it was not her beauty or her body that had Ami's complete attention. He was so deep in the zone for her. The world was gone, and Naya and what she'd do to him next, but mostly how much he wanted whatever that was, were the only things on his mind. And what she intended to do to him next made Six lock herself firmly in one of the four comfortable armchairs Arius had set in the observation room that was outside a one-sided window that took up the entire wall. Her mouth was watering, and her nipples were tingling. Naya was approaching him with a large cock. Ami's own cock was so huge and swollen it was nearly purple, and they heard his chains rattle through the open speakers as she approached him with that phallus. "He's going to come," Six whispered. "He'll hold," Stellan whispered back. "Okay, then." Six was going to come just watching. "God." "Zzzz." They heard Naya make the sexy sound she made often when she was calming Ami as she approached between his legs. "You're with me, no?" she asked. His head bobbed against the wall. Oh, yes, he was totally with her. In a somewhat surprising move, she trailed the head of the phallus over his balls, his cock, up his boxed abs, between his pecs, up his throat, to his chin. "Open," she bid. "My, my, my." "Well played," Stellan murmured. "He could say that again." Ami opened. Naya slid the cock inside his mouth. "Damn."
"Suck, mon guerrier," she ordered.
He sucked hard. Holy hell.
"I like this very much," Naya cooed to her chained sob.
Taking his attention at his mouth, and with her eyes on him as he sucked cock, he missed what else she was up to, and his entire big body bucked so hard Six worried the chains would tear out of the wall when she drove two fingers up his ass.
"I'm inside you everywhere, Ami," she purred, fucking his mouth and his ass. "Do you like your mistress inside you?"
His head bobbed again.
"Yes, you do,"
she decreed in a playful tone. And then, in a move so swift, Six nearly missed it, if not the culmination of it. The cock was out of his mouth, and she was driving it up his ass. His chest pounded out, his long legs cranked wide, and his mouth opened on a roar that began unintelligibly and ended up in, "Yes, mistress, fuck me, take me, goddamn fuck!" Six had also missed that Naya had lubed her fingers, so he was primed to take that cock. But he was primed in more ways than one, and he was going to be more primed. Naya wrapped her elegant hand around his dick and started pumping, the wax drips peeling off, slithering to the floor.
"Beg for more, mon guerrier," she ordered.
"Fuck yeah, more, mistress,"
Take my ass, fist my junk, fuck me, fuck me.
It was the first time her inexperience shone through. Or perhaps the show was just too good for her to carry on. But she ended it, in Six's estimation, far too soon. As Naya drove the cock home, grabbed tight to his balls, squeezed and commanded, "Come immediately." With zero delay on a thundering cry, Ami's cum jetted up his chest, his hands in fists, his neck straining, his body pumped so huge. Every vein that could pop had, and his legs jacked so wide, the pain of the pull down his inner thighs had to be immense.
"More, mistress," he grunted, still shooting. "More, squeeze me. Pump me, fuck me."
She went back to the cock and did the best she could with only two hands, until there was nothing but weak spurts of milky fluid coming from the tip of his cock, his huge body convulsing before it went slack. Naya did not cease, though her movements at cock and ass had slowed, gone gentle, when she asked softly and with the reverence her sub's performance demanded,
"I would like to keep going, Ami. How do you feel?"
He could barely focus on her, but he managed it as he managed to growl,
"I am yours."
And that was all she could take. Sick shot out of her seat.
"Darling,"
Stellan called. She reached down, grabbed his hand, tugged him out of his seat, and pulled him out of the observation room.
"We shouldn't leave, Simone,"
Stellan told the back of her head. She didn't listen. She dragged him to the Dom lounge, into it, right to her locker.
"Sweetheart,"
he murmured. She punched in the combination, yanked the locker open, and looked up at him.
"Please be quiet," she whispered.
His eyes roamed her face. Then he dipped his chin to her.
God, she loved this man.
She reached into the locker, felt around, found the two things she wanted, and she knew Stellan had to see them when she pulled them out. They said nothing as she slammed the locker door closed, grabbed his hand and lugged him out of the Dom lounge. He still said nothing when she took him to the doors, four of them that stood close together, thankfully close to the Dom lounge. The isolation rooms. They recalled this because they were no bigger than a very small closet. And with the lights out, they were completely dark. Arius had other isolation play at the Honey, namely tanks of water you could put a sub in to do things to them. These smaller rooms were different. Constricted space, no light, no sound. So dark, some doms wore night vision goggles to play with their subs in them, and the cameras in the room definitely had night vision. This was not what Six wanted. She looked at the panels outside the rooms, found three were unoccupied, and opened the door to one. She immediately hit the switch that told the control room it was occupied. She tugged Stellan in. The light was on, she kept it on, and she and Stellan were everywhere since the entirety of the small space was mirrored, even the ceiling. This, obviously, for other types of play, not isolation. "Jacket off," she ordered. She was not looking at him, but she could feel his eyes on her, even as she felt him shrug off his jacket. He dropped it to the ground. "Face the back wall. Open your shirt," she commanded shortly. "Completely." No hesitation, Stellan did it. She positioned behind him, reached around and undid his trousers. "Legs wide," she kept at him. He planted his legs wide as she yanked his pants down, glorying in watching through the mirror as his thick, hard, handsome cock sprung free. She also saw he had his shirt open. It was hanging loose, exposing an inch of skin from throat to cock. "Hands to the mirror." Stellan put his hands to the mirror. She lubed the large vibrator, tossed the tube to the ground, and looked over his shoulder into the mirror, right into his burning, penetrating dark blue eyes. "It's not him, it's you," she told him, her voice shaking with emotion. He dipped his chin again.
I need it, she stated.
Then take it, he replied, curt, sharp, like a dare.
Like an order.
Eyes to his, she turned the vibrator all the way to high, positioned it at his ass, and drove deep. His breath came out in a hiss, his head slammed back, and the muscles and veins in his neck jumped out. He righted his head and caught her eyes.
Fuck me,
he growled. Six did. Hard, long, deep strokes, reaching around to his front to clamp onto his cock and fist it, pumping brutally. He moved with her, fucking her hand, fucking his own ass, his noises and hers bouncing around the room, pounding into them. Everything she was giving him, he was taking. He was giving in the mirrors, everywhere she could see. And through it all, he held her gaze until he couldn't anymore, his jaw hard, his face set in stone, his head hitched back. Come, baby, she whispered. He blew, his long, lean body jerking violently, his cum gushing all over the floor. Yes. Yes. Scalp to toe, she quivered in ecstasy. He was twitching in her hold as she milked the last drops from him. And then she had no hold on him at all. She was back against the mirror in front of him, his hand wrapped tight around her throat, his other hand jerking up the body-hugging skirt of the gray leather dress she was wearing. It didn't go as far as he needed, but it didn't matter. In a close squeeze, he dove into her panties at the front and rubbed her clit brutally, pushing back hard, diving two fingers in deep, finger-fucking her, pulling out and going back at her clit, with his face not an inch from hers, his breaths heavy on her lips, hers on his as she stared desperately into his eyes. Please, she whispered.
Please what?
He bit off.
Please, master, let me come.
He shoved his hand between her legs back, fucking her with long, deep strokes of his fingers.
God, she was going to lose it. Please, she begged.
His fingers at her throat slid up to her cheek, pushing her head to the side. His face came down, and he latched onto her neck with his teeth, biting her so hard she was sure he'd broken skin before he clipped. Come. He latched on again with his teeth, and she jerked against his hold as she came viciously into his hand. The aftershocks were nearly as extreme as the orgasm had been, which meant by the time she started coming down, she hadn't felt it that he was stroking her pussy like it was a pet and laving at her neck like it was an ice cream cone. She lifted her hands and caught his face, pulling it up and away so she could gain his eyes. He cupped her pussy. She shared like a chant.
It wasn't him, baby. It wasn't him. It was about you, darling.
He gently squeezed between her legs and lifted a hand to cover his mark at her neck.
Calm.
Instantly, her racing heart and rasping breath began to settle.
Didn't I tell you the other night we were learning this part of our lives?
He asked. She stared up at him and said nothing.
Didn't I?
He pushed. Six nodded because he had.
Something I've already learned that I'll share now is that outside of the gladiator pit, if Ami is not claimed tonight by Naya, which I think we can both agree that he has been, I cannot allow your attention to toys.
Okay, she said slowly.
You're very much mine, Simone, in all ways, and I thought I could share that way in order to give you something you need, but I was wrong.
She pressed her lips together.
So Arius was right.
Damn.
You can watch, he told her, if with me like tonight, but you cannot touch, and you cannot command, not ever again.
Oh, shit.
But you're my Simone, darling, he said gently. Not my slave, my Simone. Even as I've already claimed that of you. I didn't fully understand the difference, but I do now. Can you... Will you share that with me? She requested. He smiled a soft smile. Thank God he was smiling. Then he spoke. I will not be your sub, sweetheart. I will not be whipped and fucked with your heel or commanded to suck cock, real or inanimate. I would give that to you if I had it in me, and I must admit I love you enough. I want you to have everything you desire, so I've considered it. It was beautiful that he actually considered it. More beautiful, why? Before she could form that into words to share that with him, he kept going. But you can use me, Simone, he stated, and her belly curled into itself. I'll allow you to use your master to get what you need. But you must understand, once you do, you'll give him what he needs in return, however he takes it from you. I can imagine that's not entirely understood. We'll need to keep playing to find where the limits are for you and for me. We already found one limit for me, though neither of us understood it at the time. That being, I have you in our bed, as my lover and as my sub. However, you do not take me there. But what you needed tonight, obviously, I gladly will give. I can imagine being restrained by you. Would be highly enjoyable. Beyond that, we shall see.
Do you know I adore you? She whispered, thinking that was another huge gift he would treasure more than her trust.
I already know that.
She blinked.
He grinned.
I know you know, but I never told you. She said in an odd voice, like a child's, weak and wounded.
You told me Sunday.
She did? I did?
When we were in the library. You said, I knew I couldn't look after two people I loved. I'd already learned that. I lost him, but I found a way to survive. I knew the same wouldn't be true if I lost you. I took that as an avowal of love, my sweet darling. And obviously I was correct. Holy God, that might be verbatim. He remembered it verbatim. Is that verbatim? She asked for confirmation.
I have a very good memory, especially when I'm remembering something that means everything to me.
Lord. Was this how it was, falling in love when it was safe? When it was real?
Every day you just dropped deeper, and the feeling was just splendor.
Okay, she whispered.
Then do you know how much? I hope I have a fair idea, he whispered back.
It's a lot, she said.
Thank goodness,
he replied. You did it. She told him.
What?
He asked. And I love it.
What?
He repeated. You've made me believe in happy. His face clouded with thunder and his lips rumbled.
Get that skirt up, darling. If you don't, I'll do it, and I fear I'll rip the seams.
Without delay, taking some effort, stretching the leather probably irreparably, she shimmied the skirt up. He yanked her panties down, wrapped an arm around her waist, and hauled her up. He pressed her to the mirror and planted her on his rigid cock. She framed his beautiful face with her hands and breathed.
Yes. Raise your hand, darling. Turn the vibrations down. I don't want to come too soon.
He murmured his order.
But her eyes got big at it.
It's still inside you?
It's you inside me, and we're not done, so of course.
He then started fucking her as she reached around and turned the vibrations down. The cameras are on. The staff will have seen what I did to you, she reminded him warily.
If you have not learned about me, that I do not give a single fuck about what anyone thinks of me, you'll learn it now. But it's more, darling. We shall play here, Simone. All the beauty
we have on display, however that comes about. And I not only don't care people will see, I want to rub it in their faces.
Yes, that was what falling in love with was when it was safe and real, an endless drop of amazing.
We should get back to observing, she whispered. I'll make this quick.
Shame, she said against his lips.
He kissed her. After a while, she came. A short while later, he came. After that, they made out in a little mirrored room that smelled of sex and had cum all over the floor. It was the most romantic moment of her life. They disengaged, straightened their clothes, went to the Dom lounge to clean up and tidy up, and put away the toy and lube. Then they went back to the observation room.
It was clear Naya was in a certain mood, and equally clear Ami had some stamina.
Six came two more times that night, with Stellan's hand up her skirt.
He came once more, with his woman curled on the floor between his legs, sucking him off. It was a long session. Thank God.
When Naya was curled around Ami, who was seated on a spanking bench, stroking his bald head, his neck, his shoulders, aftercare he didn't appear to need, but he definitely appeared to like, Stellan texted Arias to share if Naya and Ami needed observation again. He should call on Stellan and Six. It was not a surprise that they got a return text before they arrived home, to be at the Honey for observation the next night. So Ami might get his own happy. Naya, too. Since he'd given it to her to read the text, she returned Stellan's phone to him as he coasted the Tesla into his garage bay, while she said, "Sometimes the world does not suck."
"New goal,"
he murmured.
"I showed her happy. Now to show her a world where most of the time it doesn't suck."
As he powered down the car, she turned her head to him and snapped, "Stop making me happy-er." Stellan looked to her, smiling, and then he replied, "Never." 21.
Too easy.
Stellan. The next morning, Stellan was leaning against the kitchen counter, sipping coffee, listening to M babble, when Simone came down to join them. He took in her sweet look aimed his way before he turned to pour her a cup of coffee. He then gave her the mug as well as a quick peck on the lips before he watched Simone swallow her vitamins with orange juice as she listened to M babble. He continued to observe the two, intermittently interjecting, throughout breakfast. And through one of those interjections, she promised to go to some place called Mood, during their trip to New York, to buy a carrier bag for one of M's daughters, who was a fan of some television show, and while at this place, bewilderingly, vowed to pet a dog. Simone had gone off to gather the things she needed to take on the day, and Stellan was putting his coffee mug into the sink when M sidled close.
"These past few days,"
she began, hesitated, and went on.
"She seems much changed. Do we have her?"
Stellan nodded and smiled down at her.
"We do. But it wasn't without a fair amount of difficulty, sweetheart. And that difficulty was all experienced by her. She seems to be coping well. Though I don't think it'd be good to let down our guard."
M nodded.
"Celebrate victories, large and small. But don't allow them to fool you into believing you've reached the ultimate goal."
"Precisely." She nodded shortly.
"We will persevere. I knew I could count on you."
She gave him a beaming smile. Some minutes later, when he and Simone were walking down the hall to the garage, she told him, "I've got a job on tonight. But since Ami and Naya aren't set to start until 10:30, I think I'll be good. I might have to meet you at the Honey, though." They stopped at the driver's side door of her Cayenne.
That'll be fine, darling. Dinner?
Can we meet up and grab a quick bite somewhere?
Absolutely.
She grinned up at him, got on her toes, touched her lips to his, and he stepped back as she got in her car. He was moving to his as she pulled out, but looked her way as she tooted her horn in a final farewell. He was chuckling as he raised his hand in a short wave, and she waited to catch that before she hit the remote to send the garage door going down. Stellan got in his Tesla, thinking that Simone was giving him every indication she was right there with him. She'd combined her two selves, giving them both not only to him, but as far as he could tell, to everyone. She'd given him her sketchbooks, and beyond, she'd given him her past, which offered him her trust. She'd professed her love to him. And once they got through the tough parts, through it all, she seemed fine. Good. Happy. Fucking perfect. He backed out of his garage, and once he cleared it, hit the remote and watched the door go down. He was thinking that his Simone thought she was strong, invincible, a superhero. But thought this, murmuring, it was too easy. Way too easy. Stellan was a man who didn't expect the other shoe to drop. He prepared for it. And he sensed it would. Though he couldn't know that it would happen so quickly. It was late afternoon when the intercom built into Stellan's desk buzzed. He hit the button to open communications to Susan, saying,
Yes?
There's a man named Branch Dillinger here to see you. Stellan's eyes went right to his door as a heavy feeling settled low in his gut. He did not consider the fact Dillinger was in Susan's office without forewarning, and he didn't consider this because it was Dillinger. He probably opened the security stanchions with his mind.
Send him in,
he ordered. Her voice dropped.
Do I have to?
In any other circumstances, this would make him smile. It could not be lost on anyone, no matter their gender, that Branch Dillinger was a superior specimen of male. And Susan, even happily married and entrenched firmly in building a family, had not lost her skills as a connoisseur in this area. However, Dillinger might be the operating manager of Arius's clubs, but he used to be something else entirely. The exact definition of that very few people knew, and Stellan was not one of those people. Further, he suspected even Evangeline Dillinger's lover didn't fully know. That was the kind of man Dillinger was. He was, obviously and almost aggressively, good-looking. He was also stone-cold, and exuded danger so palpably, a normal man might catch himself flinching simply in the man's presence. The only warmth Stellan had ever seen from him was toward Evangeline, and it was steady, true, without fail, the polar opposite of his normal demeanor. She was the only one who received that, bar none. He might be able to rein in his menace to show respect or regard, but Evangeline was the only being for which Dillinger showed emotion. And for her, there was a good deal of it. Though rather shockingly, Leany had shared, he was enamored with their little dog. That, Stellan would have to see to believe.
You do, he told Susan.
Damn, she muttered. And he heard the click that shared she'd closed communications. Stellan got up from his desk and was halfway across his office when Susan opened his door, ushering Dillinger through. It was rumored he was good friends with Amelie's Ollie, something else Stellan would have to see to believe. But the two men couldn't be more different. Ollie was enormous, had a football linesman's body, dark blonde hair, and a boy next door handsomeness. Dillinger was tall and viciously lean. Not to the point he was slim, to the point the definition of the muscles in his body shared he had the power to perpetrate vicious things. He had black hair,
and he had ice-blue eyes that Stellan had experienced nothing coming from, but chilling cold, and even more chillingly astute assessment. Susan was giving his back view a top-to-toe before she caught Stellan's gaze and his look, gave him a cheeky grin, and shut the door.
Lang,
Dillinger greeted as they stopped at each other. Stellan offered his hand to the man.
Dillinger?
They shook and separated.
Would you like a seat?
He asked. Dillinger barely spared a glance at the two backless chairs in front of Stellan's desk before his attention came back to Stellan.
I'm not sure I'll be here that long,
he answered.
Interesting response. Obviously, this is a surprise, Stellan noted.
Yeah,
Dillinger muttered, and Stellan watched with fascination as he lifted his hand, bowed his head, wrapped his fingers around the back of his neck, and appeared to give it an uneasy squeeze, before he dropped his hand and looked back at Stellan.
I should have called. I've got your number. But I didn't know how to play this, so I asked Angie, and she said face-to-face was the way to go.
Angie.
What he called Evangeline. He was the only one who called her that. That, in and of itself, with the man he gave the world, shared just how deeply his feelings went for his woman. And their current meeting was full of surprises, considering whatever he was there to discuss, he'd first asked Leenie's advice.
Perhaps you should just get on with it, Stellan invited.
Dillinger looked direct into his eyes, and Stellan fought a shiver.
It's rampant, you're with Six,
he declared.
This is true,
Stellan confirmed.
Right,
he muttered, drew breath in through his nose and kept direct eye contact.
What's not rampant is that you shut down her extracurricular activities. But that's been brought to my attention.
Stellan, not entirely relaxed, felt his body string taut.
You too tight?
Dillinger queried quietly.
Unbreakable,
Stellan said with firm determination.
Okay, then. Not my business. But are you shutting down those activities with what they were and her rep out there? That says to me, she doesn't know you made that play.
Who she is?
If she wanted to end that, she'd not get her boyfriend to do it for her.
Stellan didn't reply.
Dillinger didn't need one.
I get why you made that play. The company she keeps isn't good, and she's got a sweet gig with that law firm. They get wind of that shit, could fuck that up for her. She gets a job that goes bad, other, worse shit can get fucked up.
These are all things I know,
Stellan said low.
She know you went that way?
Stellan remained silent, though that was an answer, and Dillinger read it correctly.
None of my business, but man to man, when she finds out, that might not go good for you.
Stellan again didn't reply. But this, he feared, was the other shoe that was going to drop. He needed to talk to her about it. He needed to get them through that important part of how her life needed to change. He hadn't because he was concerned she was too fragile after all she'd given him on Sunday. He wanted her to feel safe, to have time to enjoy the calm that had settled in after that storm. But perhaps he should reconsider waiting. Dillinger nodded brusquely.
Right. What you don't know is that she just took a job looking into something going down at the Bolt. She spent yesterday recruiting informants to keep an eye on the activities of one of the three partners. Word travels. This word is so far relatively tight, but it still traveled to me.
Stellan drew in breath, turned his head, and looked out his wall of windows.
I don't know what's happening, Dillinger continued. I don't have a lot of time on my hands to poke around, either. Which sucks, since one of the other three partners is a buddy of mine, and if I had to make a blind take on what's happening, I know which of the other two partners is doing fucked up shit. I know, with the kind of guy he is,
That is probably seriously fucked up. And I know he's not gonna take kindly to someone, especially Lang, it's important to say,